Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
We bless you and praise you. We exalt you. We magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to expound verses 23 through 27. I've entitled this morning's message, When Sudden Storms Come. When sudden storms come. Many of us have experienced in life sudden storms. Sometimes it could be a financial situation. Sometimes it could be a health situation. Sometimes it could be someone that you know and love that is going through an addiction, or maybe even children that are in rebellion. But storms come to us, whether we want them to come or not. And many of us could try to analyze it and come alongside someone and try to comfort them. The only thing about that is we have to be real careful that we're not like Job's friends. You see, Job's friends were well-intended, but they gave their own opinion and their own perspective. And we read in scriptures in the book of Job that God was truly angry. You don't want to, whenever you hear God is angry, you do not want God to be angry at you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's the last thing we want to do, is have God angry at us. But they tried to insinuate many falsehoods. For instance, what sin are you involved in? That's the first thing that comes to mind. That person must be in sin. And it may not even be that at all. And so we're going to take a biblical view and a perspective, and have the scriptures illuminate.
That's right.
That we could glean off God's word and be edified and be built up. For when that storm does come, we'll have the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, and the peace of God through the storm.
Amen.
Can I get amen?
Amen?
So let's turn to Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to break down verses 23 through 27. And the word of God reads, Now when he got into a boat, this is Jesus, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, on the boat, and was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him and saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. How many of you have had a sickness or an illness where you thought you were gonna die? I just had one a couple of weeks ago, a kidney stone. I wouldn't want to wish that pain on my worst enemy. And I don't have any enemies by God, by grace, by the grace of God. I don't have no enemy. But let me tell you, it's like a knife that goes into the side of you and it's constantly twisting. And I spoke to now three different people that have had one, and the outcome was the same. The experience is the same. And so that came suddenly. It's a sudden thing that happens in our life. And I'm crying for God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. I think my wife heard me say this, "Oh God, take me home now." Because it's excruciating. It's so painful. But yet, I found within my soul to still praise Him.
That's right.
Hallelujah. To still glorify Him and magnify Him. Let's look at verse 26 here. And it says, "But He said to them, 'Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?'" You see, God was trying to get them to a place of faith. Jesus said throughout the scriptures, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you'll be able to move a mountain. And by the grace of God, we've been to Israel several times, and we brought home some mustard seeds. And they're smaller than a pulga. Oh, smaller than a flea. And yet that little tiny seed can grow into a tree. Amazing. Only God could do those kind of miraculous things. You know, scientists could try to figure it out, but it's God. He created it. But He's saying, have faith the size of that, and you'll be able to move a mountain. The mountains in our life. And so then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Wow. Listen, when you have someone that can rebuke the wind and the seas, you have God in your presence. Can I get an amen? Because only God can move those elements like that. So the men marveled, saying, "Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey Him?" So, amen. So let's take a look at our first principle right up here. Cleansing. Cleansing. When sudden storms come, God does a cleansing with us. Can I get an amen? And a lot of times it's to get our attention. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes. Listen, you could be walking with God for 34 years like me. And there are times when He wants my attention now. Can I get amen? We can have devotional time. We can have all this. We can be in Bible study. But sometimes He's looking for that intimacy with Him. Can I get amen? And so King David understood this well. Let's look at the book of Psalms right up here. Look at this. He wrote down this. "You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted," did you catch this? "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." And so God is showing us that we can go astray, not maybe in the physical sense, but mentally, emotionally, we can drift. Can I get an amen? And things of this world becomes more important. We get caught up with family. We get caught up on the job. You know, there's people that are, I call them job, it's like an alcoholic, but they are drunk in their job. Can I get an amen? You know, you've heard this said before, that people could be on a job for 40, 50 years, and when they finally retire, they die. Because they were conformed to that. And now it's gone. And so, my goodness. He goes on to say, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word." Look at verse 68 right here. "You are good." Say that with me. "You are good. And do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me. It is good for me that I have been afflicted." Did you catch that? Sometimes it's good for us to be afflicted. Can I get an amen? "That I may learn your statutes." Come on. See, we have to understand. The only way we're going to understand the mind of God, the heart of God, is in the Word. We could try to figure it out on our own, but the word of God is clear. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So we have to look to God. We got to look to God for these things, amen? Then he also said in Psalms 57:1, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. We're going to go through things of life. Can I get amen? How many of you can honestly say you have suffered some things? Okay, I only see one hand up, so I pray for you. I pray for you. Everyone's doing fine. Everyone has never had a storm, okay? Bless you. Tell me your recipe. I want to cook some of that stuff up. My goodness, my goodness. And Solomon wrote this. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. You know, we need to apply that simple scripture. It's probably on your refrigerator door. It's probably written in your Bible. Probably one of the first scriptures you learn as a Christian. But there's significance. There's power in that. Is that we would trust. Say that word with me. Trust. Trust in the Lord. Praise God. And you have to trust when things are good and when things go bad. Amen. When you're on the mountaintop with God and you're just shouting and praising, the anointing's all over you, can you still shout in the valley when you don't even feel his presence? Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Paul wrote this best. Look at this. He wrote in 2 Corinthians 12:9, look at this. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. There are times where we are perfected and we gather our strength through weak times in our life. Can I get amen? Amen. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my what? Infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Did you catch what he said? He said, I'd rather boast in my infirmities. Here I'm going, oh, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. What's there to boast about? I'm in pain. But we have to go back to the scripture. He said, I'd rather boast in my infirmities. Can I get amen? You know why? Because sometimes going through something like this, it's good for me. Oh, that's right. Oh, yes, right. Man, during the time I was down, I felt like I was in Bible college. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Look at this in verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities. What? Take pleasure? Look at this. In reproaches and needs, in persecutions and distresses, for Christ's sake. Not for anyone else's sake, but for Christ. Hallelujah. We have to understand Paul the Apostle suffered many things. This man was beaten by steel rods. He was shipwrecked. He was mobbed by gangsters. Oh yeah, his own townspeople came against him. He was bitten by a snake, thrown out of a two-story building. And wherever he went, he preached the gospel, and persecution would be right there. And yet, he said, I will boast in my infirmity. Look at that. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs, persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Can I get amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. A second biblical principle when a sudden storm comes is number two. God's looking for companionship. Did you know that? God desires that we walk in an intimate relationship with him. And he allows things to happen. Doesn't mean he sent it, but while these things occur, see, you got to remember, we still live in a body of sin, okay? Until Jesus comes and changes us into the glory that's promised to us, we're going to suffer. This is why we go back to the ground after 80, 90 years of age for those who will make it that long. But the soul and spirit, we all know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. See, God has already prepared all that. But God's looking for that intimacy with him. When's the last time you were just sprawled out on your bed and crying and praising him and just wanting him to touch you so that you would know that he is having that intimacy with you? When I first got saved, got filled with the Holy Ghost, my goodness, it was joy unspeakable and full of glory. And for months, even years, man, the presence of God, I would just think of God and it would ignite in me. And it's a physical manifestation. It's not a figment of your imagination. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, I pray that you seek him. That's why there are times we have to tarry. What do you mean tarry? That means press through for a breakthrough, that God will bless you with his presence. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. You know, a lot of times we come, oh God, here I am, you know, just touch me. No, you need to sometimes press through. We used to have all night prayer at our church at North Park Apostolic Church. We'd start praying at 9 in the evening and we wouldn't go home till 8, 9 the next morning. And breakthroughs were happening. People that haven't felt the presence of God for a while, Holy Ghost would come, hollow, and renew them. Hallelujah. Praise God. But he's looking for that intimacy. And we find this, look in Revelation. Look at this. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Look what it says here in verse 2. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. We get that. We understand that. This is what we've been learning. Things we allow, things we disallow in our life. Amen. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Wow. Be careful. Not everyone that says they're a prophet is a prophet. Not everyone says that I'm an apostle. No, the Word of God tells us that. The Bible says test the spirits and know whether they're of God. Amen. Now, look at verse 3. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Hallelujah. Ask yourself this. Has your intimacy, has your relationship, has it changed from when the first day you got saved to the present day? Have you grown in your relationship with God, or is it fizzing out? Where that one time where you would cry because you couldn't feel his presence and he would come right away, like a little infant that cries for his nursing mother. I remember those times when I first got saved. I go, where did you go, God? And I was crying for him. Boom, he was there. But after a while, can you still have that same fire? Can you still have that intimacy? Look what it says in the book of Mark, chapter 4. It says, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unwhat? Unfruitful. You see, God has shown us that there are things of this life, things of this world, that could be above God in your mind, in your heart. And what does it do? It chokes off that relationship you have with God. And then we wonder, why, how come I don't feel your presence, God? Because you have placed other things before him. Can I get amen? I'm trying to help somebody this morning. Hallelujah. Some of you are in a desert place. Some of you are a place are like, oh God, I miss your presence. I miss the intimacy. Well, God is here to strengthen us. Did you know that God's never left you? Did you know that God is always there? You may not feel him, because it's not about feelings. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But a lot of times, we want that intimacy with him, and he's saying, give me your full adoration. Give me your full heart. Just like we just read in Revelation, a lot of people left their first love. Wow. You know, my loving wife, if I didn't speak to her at all during the day, that would be a sign of something's wrong. But in order to keep that relationship alive, there must be intimacy. There must be communication. We need to communicate with each other on a daily basis. When I wake up, I still say, I love you. I thank God for you. And she says those things to me. That's been the core strength of our relationship, is to build each other up. Oh, yeah. You know, 26 years have gone by. And back then I had some hair. I was 60 pounds lighter. And we were both thin, trim, and everything. And now, as years gone by, we're pleasantly plump. And there's nothing wrong with it. Can I get an amen? And I got to be careful that a bird doesn't land on my head now. But guess what? We still tell each other how much we love each other. My question is this. Have you told God that? Have you said, Jesus, I still love you. I still exalt you and magnify you. You see, God's looking for that intimacy. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Look what King David also wrote here in Psalm 63. He says, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. See, we need God close to us more than ever. We live in a culture now that has removed God from society. The school system, the court system, everywhere you go, God is no longer mentioned. You could bring in all the other religions, but you can't bring in the Holy Bible. You know why they have removed the name of Jesus? Because that's the only name above all names that can save. Can I get amen? It's the only name that can deliver. It's the only name, hallelujah, that can set someone free. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. It's the power that will raise the dead. And there are times when there are dead things in our life that need, hallelujah, to come back to life. Hallelujah. Oh, that's right. God wants to continually use us in mighty ways. You know, there's a story in Genesis where God had such a marvelous intimacy with, and we see a picture of the rapture in it. And who could tell me, real quickly, who is the person that was taken away without seeing physical death? Before him. Enoch. Hallelujah. Enoch. Well, let's look at this. Let's look at Genesis 5:21 in the New Living Translation. Look at this. When Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship. You catch that? close fellowship with God for another 300 years. Wow. Man, they lived a long time back then. Praise God. You know why we don't live that long? Because we have HMO, PPO. We have all these other things that just shorten our life. Look at this. For another 300 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Look at verse 23. Enoch lived 365 years, walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day, he disappeared because God took him. Hallelujah. Listen. I believe we're the generation that's going to be snatched out of here. Can I get an amen? How many believe that God's going to come for his church? Oh, that's right. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And you know, as we were praying this morning with Pastor Rod, and he talked about God coming for us, you know, I always say to myself, how does he read my notes? The Holy Spirit. It was just confirmation. My soul leaped when he said, you remember what he said. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. So another third biblical principle is this right here. Conformity. Conformity. God allows sudden storms to take place. Why? Because he wants to continually conform us to be like Jesus. Oh, that's right. We are to be Christ-like. We are to die to self. I know when you say die to self, I know that sometimes that stings. You know, well, wait a minute. You know, I've got this lifestyle that I'm living right now, and I don't think it glorifies God. Well, guess what? Try God's way. And you watch God do the miraculous in your life. Can I get an amen? And we find in Scripture where God says not to be conformed to this world. Can I get an amen? I know it's tough. I know the culture is enticing. You can't even watch commercials nowadays. 2 men in a tub. You know, all these meds for transgenders and this and that and that and this. Man, when we were 9 years old, there was nothing like that. It was Father Knows Best. Oh, come on. It was Lost in Space. Warning, Will Rock. Oh, come on. That's right. Leave it to Beaver days. And for some of you, that just went over your head. They go, who is he talking about? But those were the wholesome sitcoms that we enjoyed growing up. We used to ride our bike until what? 9 o'clock at night and not worry about getting snatched or getting shot, having a drive-by here and there. You know, back in the day when we were growing up, I'm going back to 1965. If you look at that era, there was a mass shooting once, maybe every 10 years, one. Today, there are mass shootings every day. That's how much has changed. And that lets us know one thing. That's the sign that God said. He said in the last days, perilous times would come. And we're seeing that we are living in the days of Lot and Noah. How was the days of Lot? The days of Lot were very sexually perverse. And God dealt with them harshly. He had to fire brimstone upon that city. And the days of Noah were very violent, very wicked. That's when the demonic angels came into the women, and then came out the Nephilims, these big old giants. And so God said, man, man's heart is so wicked, I got to destroy it. Well, guess what? He destroyed it with the flood. The next time, it's going to be with fire. But God's going to take his church out. Can I get amen? Amen. He's going to remove us. You got to listen. If you read Genesis to Revelation, it ends in judgment. It ends in judgment. Yes, I know we want to be love and joy and peace. Yeah, there's no, that's what we're called to love and to raise up and to edify and to build up. But he's going to remove us to execute judgment on this earth. And the fire will come. It's throughout the Word of God. It's in Revelation and 2 Peter. Matter of fact, we're going to continue 2 Peter Wednesday night. Amen. But right here, to be conformed to the image of God. We have to be conformed like his son. And we find this in Romans. Look at this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's our reasonable service, is to be like God. Can I get an amen? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's all in the mind. That you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Praise God. Praise God. Look what it says in Philippians right up here. Yet indeed I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. There are some things that we have to learn to let go. There are some things that we're attached to and we think it's so dire and it's so dear to us that I can't let this go. But there are things in each and every one of our lives that may not affect me, but it affects you and vice versa. But whatever that stumbling block is, God is saying, let that go. And guess what? He'll replace it with something that is good, that comes from above. Can I get amen? There are some, one of the things when I first got saved, one of the things I had to let go because it was irritating. I had over 350 albums and CDs of R&B and jazz music that just stumbled me. And so I had to get rid of that. And I had to fill my mind with worship and praise. And singing the songs of deliverance. Praise God. And that started transforming my mind. Hallelujah. When you learn how to praise God and worship God, the Spirit of God will come in and just be exalted in your life. How many of you want to have God exalted in your life? Do the things that please him. Find out what it is. God will show you. Say, God, show me what it is that I may glorify you. Hallelujah. Look what else Paul wrote in the book of Philippians right up here. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. This is a faith walk. I hope you know that. Can I get amen? And here's what I found out. Yeah, there may be a lot of things that God is looking for us to achieve and to walk in that love and that grace. But here's the thing. The only way we're going to succeed in this, it's not the mindset of do's and don'ts. You know, as a realtor, when someone buys a condominium, they get a stack of CC&Rs, covenants, conditions, and restrictions. So there's things that you can do, things you can't do. We cannot look at the law of liberty. We cannot look at God as these do's and don'ts. The things that please God comes from an intimacy with him. Amen. In other words, you fall in love with him, and now you can say no to those things. Why? Because you don't want to break his heart now. Because you love him. But if you're looking at it as law, as well, I can't do this no more. You're looking at it in the wrong perspective. You have to question, do I have an intimacy relationship with God? Look at this in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. What? If by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. That's the key. How many of you want to attain the resurrection from the dead? Amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, when we get to the scriptures in a moment, it's going to be so fast. It's going to be like a twinkling of an eye that we will be like him. How many want to be like Jesus? Oh, yes. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Look at this. I found this in the book of Ephesians. How many love the word of God? Amen. You know, this church here, we read scriptures here. Can I get amen? Amen. We're not just going to go off one scripture and then get on a tandem. We're going to study God's word. Well, I want God to speak to me through his word. Can I get amen? Because God's word is alive, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to go down into the bone and marrow. God's able to do the miraculous through his word. Hallelujah. Sometimes you could read his word several times, but then there'll be another time you come back and then he illuminates what that word means. And then God will give you the power, hallelujah, to be transformed by it. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Look at this. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for what? A sweet smelling aroma. Praise God. That's what he's looking from our life, that we would walk around like a sweet smelling aroma. When you walk into a room and there's a whole bunch of unbelievers, God is looking for you to smell this beautiful aroma. They want to see a difference. How many believe that they want to see a difference in your life? How many of you have invited friends and family members to come to church and they'll say, yeah, I'll be there. And they never show, right? So let me just say this. The only Bible study, the only Jesus they're ever going to see is your life. It's your life. Can I get amen? So you be Jesus before them and love them. And don't condemn them if they don't come. Don't be angry. That's not going to get you anywhere. You invite, you love, you say, can I pray for you? And one day they'll be right next to you. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. But look at this. But fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be even named among you as fitting for saints. You know, all the word saints means is that we are set apart. God has set us apart from the world. And he wants to use us. We are vessels now of righteousness. And there ain't no righteousness that we have done. It's the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed upon us by faith. And so it's by faith we have this great salvation. Can I get amen? And look what it says here in verse 4. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking. Look at this. Nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather give of thanks. I know some of you have to endure some things when you're around certain family members or friends. You know, they'll go bleepity, bleepity, bleep, and then Jesus Christ comes out. You know, it's like nails on a chalkboard. And then bleepity, bleepity, bleep again. You got to love them through it. You know, after a while, you say, hey, you know what? I've said this before. Are you praising my God or are you cursing him? That's good. Ask that question. Are you praising Jesus or are you cursing him? And let them think about that. And you know, a lot of them will say, excuse my French. Well, I didn't know French was nothing but filth. I didn't know French was filthy language. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Look, when God says this, you better take that to the bank. God is serious what he wrote in his word. There's nothing that we can amend. There's nothing that we can change. The Bible says that the word of God is forever settled in heaven. God left this instructions for us. And he's serious about his word. How many believe he's serious about his word? Yes, he is. And look at this. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Listen, we know we have a lot of friends and family members. We have co-workers, stuff like that. And we have to be in their presence. But what God is saying, don't hang out with them. Why? Because they're infectious. Did you know that? You're around that filth, it's going to jump on you. Oh, come on. Come on. Oh, that's right. Listen, you go to the parties, the birthday parties. You go to these things, and you say, praise the Lord, you know, hello, how you guys all doing and all that. But then there's a time where you just have to exit stage left. You go. And so we got a couple more to break down. Number four, comfort. Sudden start, because God wants to comfort. Look at this. God does not always want to just do something in us, but often his ultimate goal is to do something through us. Hallelujah. You catch that? There's something he wants to do, and he's going to accomplish it either way. He will accomplish what he has started. Whatever God started in you, he will complete it. Can I get an amen? He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, and so we can take it to the bank. Whatever he says about you is we believe it, we receive it, and we glorify him. Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians. Look at this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Say that with me. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Oh, that's right. Rolling around, holding that side. God, I need your comfort. Oh, God, I need you at this moment. And guess what? I was comforted knowing that this too shall pass. I was comforted that it was not going to stay like this. I was comforted that knowing that he's in total control and he's allowed this to come my way. I mean, I understand it right now, but it's not for me to figure it out. It's for me to trust him. Who comforts us in all of our tribulation. Look at this. That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You see, I'll tell you what was so awesome. When I was rushed to the hospital 2.5 weeks ago, I was in a room. I was in bed A and there was bed B. So two are sharing this. And I heard the gentleman next door. There's only a curtain that divides us. It's not a wall, it's a curtain. And his sister was there, and they were talking about church and God and how he goes, yeah, I remember when I grew up in church. And then he became an elder. And then he slid away. And in my pain and in my sickness and with that IV hanging on me, I got up and I rolled over to him. I said, I need to pray for you. I need to pray for you. I said, this is not a coincidence that he put us both in this room. His name is, keep him in your prayer. His name is Marvin Dickey. Marvin Dickey. He grew up in a Pentecostal church in North County. And he was used mightily in that church. He was an elder. And let me just say this, and it happens sometimes in many different circumstances, but did you know a lot of the times you get injured emotionally is in church? He got injured in church. The senior pastor was smitten and the flock scattered. And it caused him to go astray. And so as I was praying for him, because he allowed me to come pray for him, I go, Marvin, I go, I'm a pastor and I love to pray for you. I heard your whole conversation with your daughter. And his, not daughter, but his younger sister was there. And she was weeping when I got up to pray for him. Because she'd been praying for him that he would go back. And so as I laid hands on him, I started praying for him. And God just showed me, you know, God was just showing me some things. And one of the things I said to him, you've been looking to man and you took your focus off of God. I said, God will not fail you. God will always comfort you. God will always be there. Man, if you're looking to man will fail you. Man will do you wrong. And he just started crying. He started crying. And then I just started praying in the Holy Ghost. I broke out in some long tongues. Just praying for the brother. And we became friends in there. For 3 days, we became friends. I want him to come and share his testimony. Because the reason why he was there, he has intestinal problems. When his mother was carrying him, he was 7.5 months in the womb. His parents had a hideous car accident. And so she got crushed and a rib broke and the bone tore into his stomach. And when he came, they had to do a C-section. And when he came forth, his belly was exposed. And so he's always had, I go, brother, did you know that God spared your life? I go, you're here today because God spared your life. I go, there's purpose. And God sparing your life. He had another surgery because the reason why he had a surgery this time while we were there is he had pain that it was so unbearable. When they finally went in, his intestines were all twisted up. So they had to open them up and rearrange the intestines to put them back in its order and close them back up. I said, you know what? God's not through with you. God is not through with you. You're talking about a storm. So pray for him, Marvin Dickey. He might be watching right now. I sent him a couple of YouTube videos in. I don't know how long he's going to be there. I'm just praying that God, I truly believe, God had to remind him through a sick pastor at the time, an injured pastor, to remind him how good God is. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Jesus. Jesus, we serve a mighty God, don't we? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at what it says in Matthew. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. How many are so blessed to know that? How many are so blessed to know that? Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. We serve a mighty, mighty God. Can I get an amen? All right, we just got two more principles to break down. Look at this one right up here. It's called convictions. Convictions. Pain and suffering solidifies your conviction that God is sufficient. He is with you and he will take care of you, even through your demise. Can I get an amen? And that's what I shared with Marvin Dickey. He's allowed that to show you his grace and his mercy. Can I get an amen? Amen? Praise God. You know, we find these principles early in the New Testament. We find them in the book of Deuteronomy. Look at this as we go to Deuteronomy. Then Moses, look at this. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of Israel, "Be strong and of good courage." A lot of times we need to be strong and be courageous, even in the midst of affliction. Can I get an amen? Amen? "For you must go with the people to the land which the Lord has sworn to your fathers and give them. You shall cause them to inherit it." Listen, whatever we go through in life, it's well worth it. Because there's something at the very end that's going to, number one, bring glory and honor, but it's going to be mind-blowing. Number one, when we see Jesus face to face. And then we see the inheritance that he has given us. The same inheritance that he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is now given to the church as well. Praise God. Look at this. And the Lord said, look at that. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Hallelujah. When you leave this place, when you go home, when you go back to your job, whatever you do in life, know that God is with you. He's always with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. And God confirms it in the New Testament. Look at this in Hebrews. Look at this. "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Can I get amen? Amen. What can man do to us? Oh, man can slander us. Man can beat us. Man can do all these things. But guess what? Man cannot send us to that fiery place. And he definitely cannot send us to heaven. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. Worry about the one that can cast a soul into that fiery place. Look what 1 Peter says here. Look at this. We're coming in for a close. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for the righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Say that with me. You are blessed. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are blessed. Come on. Tell your neighbor. Tell the world that we are blessed. We are a blessed people. Can I get an amen? Despite of it all, we are a blessed people. Look at this. "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled." Praise God. Listen, there's going to come a time where we're really going to be persecuted as believers. But here's my question. Are you still going to exalt him? Are you still going to praise him? Are you still going to speak the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Don't allow man to muzzle you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Look at this. "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you." With what? Meekness and fear. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. "Having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ, that they may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for good than for what? Evil." Listen, if there's any evil in our life, depart from it. Can I get amen? Depart from it. Don't let our ears and eyes ponder on those things now. Can I get an amen? I want God to be glorified and magnified in our life. And so be mindful for those things. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so the sudden storms come. As we look at number six, change. Sometime God wants to make a change. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Look at this. Paul is a great example of one who changed when God got his attention on the Damascus Road. You remember his story? How many of you remember his story? He was Saul of Tarsus, huh? He was a persecutor of the church. He was the original drive-by. He was the original house invader. Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. He would grab them and throw them to the fire. He would turn them over to the Roman soldiers and they would be crucified. He would throw them in the pits where the lions were. He thought he was doing God a service. And then God said, enough is enough. But you know what I love about God? God turned that man, his whole heart, to be conformed like Jesus. And I'm just saying this. All of us in here were a type at one time. We were a type of Saul of Tarsus. Can I get an amen? Listen, go back to your BC years. How many times have you cursed out God back then? How about the people that got saved and they came and witnessed to you and you would say, oh, I'm glad you found God. That was good for you. Oh, come on. We all were on a road to Damascus. We all had an encounter with God, didn't we? When a custodian led me to Christ at Horizon Christian Fellowship at 9 o'clock at night with $500 of crystal meth in my sock. Oh, come on. It was only but the grace of God that set me free that night. Can I get amen? I didn't have to fast and pray and tarry. No, it was just a prayer by faith. And God came in like a rushing mighty wind. Didn't go through 1 second of withdrawal. That thing was evil to me now. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Look at this story real quick, and then we're going to close. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if it be found by any who were of the way. Who was the way? That was the new church, the brand new church, the ecclesia, when the Holy Ghost was poured out. The very first church, it was called the Way. It was an orderly way. It was the Way. Can I get an amen? It was the Way. Get that straight. It was the Way. Hallelujah. So that he may found who were of the Way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Look at this. In verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Look at this. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want to do with me? And the Lord said to him, arise and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do. Look at this in verse 7. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Wow. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And there he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. We know the rest of the story. He surrendered to Jesus. He gave his heart to Christ. And then he was baptized. And the Bible says it was like scales that fell off his eyes. And then he can see. And became the greatest apostle that ever lived. The majority of the epistles in the New Testament were written by Paul. Not Saul. It was Paul now. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that? Huh? How many are so blessed to know that? And so, the last one we're going to break down, and I'll make it quick, is number 7, the glory of God to be revealed in us. Sometimes God has allows those storms to come to remind us of the glory that will be revealed in us. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many can't wait to be like him? Amen. Praise God. Look at what it says in Romans right here. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. We need to be born of the Spirit. Can I get amen? Look at this. For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Can I get amen? How many believe that you are a child of God? Come on, every one of us in here, right? We're a child of the Most High God. Praise God. And look at this. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Therefore, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Revealed where?
In us.
In us. The glory will be revealed in us. And so, brother, make sure the laptop is ready to go up here. Listen, how many can't wait? This is where Pastor Rod read my notes. He didn't know what I was going to bring this morning. But the glory that will be revealed is when he comes and takes the church home. How many believe that God's going to come for his church? Oh, come on. Yes, he is. He's coming for his church. We are the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. We've been betrothed. Oh, that's right. We are marked. And God has given us a deposit. And the guarantee is the Holy Ghost that lives inside. Can I get amen? And so, Paul wrote to this church in Thessalonians, but I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who have died already, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Now look at this in verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Say this with me. For the Lord himself, come on, for the Lord himself, praise God, will descend from heaven and with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. Say that with me. Caught up to be with the, look at this, to be with them in the clouds to meet the Lord of the air. And thus, we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, look what it says. Therefore, frighten one another. No! Comfort one another. Can I get amen? And it's going to be fast. It's going to be so fast. It's going to be fast. It's going to be fast like that. Look at that. Now this I say to you, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. Come on. For this corruptible, I want you to point to your body. This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So this is how fast the rapture is going to take place. Let's go there right now. Look at this. Brother, I don't got no volume on the laptop. Here we go.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore,
a little louder,
for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week. Or he could even come.
Are you ready? And so, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. There's a wonderful scripture on the screen right now. And I'm crying out to those who have logged in on YouTube and Facebook. And maybe you're here and you've never given your heart to Christ. But God said, first and foremost, in order to receive God, there must be a heart of repentance. Without repentance, we will receive nothing from God. And so, the new church that we just read, The Way, the Apostle Peter, who denied Jesus three times, was filled now with the power of the Holy Spirit. It gave him spiritual boldness. And on the day of Pentecost that had fully come, they were in one room in the upper room. 120 of them were there. And God filled them with all of the Holy Ghost and with power. And it was only 9 o'clock in the morning. And so all that came to celebrate the feast heard them speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And some of them down below, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. These people are drunk up there. So Peter came down and made it more clear to them. And he preached his very first sermon. He said, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of your sins. That means forgiveness. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Praise God. Praise God. I want to give you that opportunity right now. As you're looking on your phone or screen, monitor, television, you too can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You too can have eternal life. But you must repent and ask God to forgive you of your sins, and that you would receive Jesus by faith. If that's you, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me so I can pray for you. Let's bow our hearts and our head and ask God, hallelujah, to meet you right now. Pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Is he worthy? Come on, is he worthy? I'm going to ask everyone to stand.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.